little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
So we're going to go on to another subject again within women's health, and we're going to talk about painful intercourse. Do you want to start with, so I'll be Stacey.
Okay. Hiya, Stacey. So in order to sort of get a little bit more information about this pain that you've been having during sex, would it be okay if I ask you some quite specific questions about it?
Yes, that'd be fine, yeah.
Okay, thanks, Stacey. So what was going on in your life when this first started?
I guess we were having quite a few arguments between me and my partner. I was a bit stressed when it was all going on, and I guess I wasn't very excited, and I did feel under pressure to keep on having sex to keep him happy, but it was a bit tricky.
So it sounds a bit difficult. Okay. And so it sounds from that maybe your sex drive had changed. I mean, what's your sex drive like at the minute?
Well, I've not enjoyed sex for so long that really it's put me off it completely at the moment. Yeah. And I'm feeling quite, I'm not motivated to have sex, really.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. And are you particularly anxious about sex?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, I don't look forward to it, and when I feel obliged to have sex, it just feels like a chore. So, yeah, I get really pretty tense about it.
Okay. And, I mean, it sounds like, yeah, maybe the issues with your relationship have sort of been happening at the same time as this pain has started. I mean, had you put those two things together, the arguing and the pain during sex?
I guess I probably hadn't really connected it, but it does make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought there was something wrong with me, really. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't been very sympathetic, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, just to make sure that you're safe at home, I mean, do you feel that you've been abused in any way in your relationship at the minute?
Well, he never hits me, and I don't think he's going to harm me, but I just feel he sometimes gets angry with me.
Mm-hmm. And would you be able to say no if you didn't want to have sex?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know, really.
Okay, that sounds quite difficult, Stacey. I mean, there's a few other specific questions, if that's all right, but we can come back to what you've talked about there. So have you noticed any discharge from your vagina?
No more than usual. No, it seems okay.
Mm-hmm. And when was your last period?
A couple of weeks ago.
And was that a normal period?
Yeah.
And are you using any contraception at the minute?
We use condoms.
Condoms, okay. And just so I can be clear about where the pain is, you know, when during sex does it happen? Does it happen right at the beginning, like it's on the outside, or as you start to have sex, or is it deep inside?
Yeah, it's right from the very beginning. So it's, yeah, as he's trying to put, I mean, he doesn't really believe in foreplay or anything like that, and it's straight from the outset, and I'm not excited.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't masturbated for a long time. I just don't feel inclined to, but I'm never moist, and mm-hmm. it just feels sore.
It's sore, yeah. Okay. And what about tampons? Can you use them?
I still do use them, but they're a bit sore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And have you noticed actually any blisters or rash or anything on your vulva, like outside the vagina?
No, things look okay. I don't have any discharge, and I don't have any skin problems or anything. No, I wouldn't say so.
Yeah, okay. Well, it sounds, I'm sorry to hear you're in quite a bit of pain, and obviously sounds a bit difficult for you to have sex at the minute, and understandably, if you're not excited and you're feeling very dry, can be quite uncomfortable. I mean, usually I do suggest that we do just have a quick check of your vulva, look at the vagina, and just make sure that because of this pain you're having that everything looks normal. I mean, I would expect it probably will, to be honest, if you say things look normal, but if you're happy for me to do that, I could have a look today.
No, that would be fine. So we've got some more detailed questions in the provided notes, which are just some sample questions for exploring sexual and domestic violence. And they take you through the HARC template, which are really quite helpful for asking where there's been a suggestion of duress or pressure or inappropriate relationships between partners or outside of that. And it's worthwhile just perhaps, I mean, we've already gone through some examples of that, but maybe we could go a little bit more, in a bit more depth about some of those questions. Do you want to give those a go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Stacey, I mean, there's a few other questions that I would like to ask, if that's all right, just to see how things are for you at home, because mm-hmm. I'm a bit concerned that if you've felt unable to say no to having sex, that sometimes, you know, that can be a sign that you're actually experiencing a bit of what we would maybe call a form of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, within the last year, have you ever been humiliated or emotionally abused by your partner?
Well, he often puts me down, and particularly in front of friends. So, yeah, I guess thinking about it, he's not kind.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever actually felt afraid of your partner in the last year?
He's quite angry sometimes, and he's quite... He's never been violent,
mm-hmm.
but he's quite explosive with his anger, and I don't feel that I can say no to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And would you say you've actually been sort of raped or forced to have sex at all in the last year?
Well, he's never held me down and made me have sex, but mm-hmm. I don't do it because I want to have sex,
mm-hmm.
and he expects to have sex regularly. I never considered it as being rape, but I'd rather not, really.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you say you've never actually been assaulted, so does that mean you've never been hit or kicked or anything by him?
No, he's never kicked me, never hit me.
Okay. I mean, the route that you would take in this consultation, I suppose, would then depend on your discussion with Stacey about how she feels in the relationship, how she wants to take things forward, because it might be that you're going on a journey here where Stacey is just beginning to realise that actually she's not in a decision-making position, and that therefore the balance of power in the relationship isn't actually equal. And I suppose sometimes these consultations have to happen over a few meetings with the patient, but you would maybe potentially now, you know, provide some information about the sorts of things that Stacey could do to get a bit of help, or just at least make sure she knows that she can come back to you to get support, and make sure she begins to feel like she can actually think these things to herself, make some decisions, and that she can regain a bit of that, I suppose you could call it power or control, but certainly, you know, decide for herself what she wants to do with the relationship. The other thing might be whether or not she does want to see you as a couple, or there's any issues where they actually think they could work on their relationship. So it depends what route it goes down, but those are the sort of things you might be then providing.
I think a lot of more junior doctors sometimes feel, when they're put in this position and they're asking these questions, that they feel inclined to try and rescue their patients from difficult situations. And I think our role as doctors, generally speaking, is to empower rather than to rescue, because it's so easy to push people towards decisions that may not be what they ideally would want to do. So we have an excellent provider locally called Wearside Women in Need, which will support ladies in making these sorts of informed decisions about what's right for them. But it's important to empower the it's usually a lady, it sometimes happens to men, but usually a lady, it's important to empower them to know that this is not their fault, that it's happening, that it is very common that it happens, and that people won't, particularly within Wearside Women in Need or any other provider, similar provider, won't look down on you for this happening to you. So to normalise it is important. So to establish contact, to establish the potential that if things were escalating, that they would know what to do under those circumstances. Check that there's no minors, no children involved, where you potentially might need to make a referral to children's services, social services, to ensure that the safety of a minor. But where there's no situation like that, ultimately we're putting it in the hand of the lady to decide when it's time to be rescued and when they need that support. Mm-hmm. So just to let them know what the avenues are and to let them have an escape plan ready should they ever need it. Mm. So we're going to safety net our patient, who is called
Stacey.
Thank you.
Okay, Stacey. So if you would like to phone next week, you could check on the results of the two swabs that I've just taken to make sure there isn't any infection on that. And if you did ever notice any bleeding during sex or sort of a new discharge, it would be a good idea to let us know and we can always repeat the swabs. I mean, it sounds like things are really difficult at home and distressing for you. If you'd like, you could read a bit more about, you know, what's going on at the minute. And there's also different websites or places you can get in touch with to speak more about how you're feeling and about how things are at home. But if you would like to come back and speak to me again, by all means, you know, see me in a couple of weeks when you've had time to think about what we've talked about.
So, Stacey, your experiences are very common. It's not right that this is happening to you. It does sound rather cruel, and it sounds almost abusive. Do you think that that sounds right? Is that a reasonable interpretation of what you've told me today?
I suppose now that we've had a time to think about it, I guess I just, you know, was going to put up with it. I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody else. I mean, thought, well, don't know what I've done wrong to get in this situation, but I just thought, well, I think it's easier to just keep quiet.
Well, it's important that you realise that it's not your fault, and from what you've told me, there's no reason to interpret it in that way. There's no suggestion that there's any fault on you, but it sounds as if what's happening to you is rather cruel. Mm-hmm. And I think it's appropriate to think about your own safety first. If it's okay, can I give you an information leaflet about our local organisation, Wearside Women in Need? Mm-hmm. And I'd encourage you to give them a call just to share with them the way that your relationship is and to see if they can give you any tips on how you keep yourself safe and maybe have an escape plan if things were to get worse or escalate. But it's important that you know that this is common but not right. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be accepted. And there are ways of appropriately keeping yourself safe and dealing with this sort of behaviour.
Okay.
Otherwise, there is the potential it could get worse in the future.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no